Listen Lysak,
the podcast about glass processing. Hello and welcome back to Listen Lysak, the podcast about glass processing. My name is Sarah Hummelsberger and I'm part of the Lysak marketing team. And across from me is Harald, who will introduce himself.
Hi, my name is Harald Miksch and I am a product manager here at Lysak.
We are recording, as always, at our production site in Lower Austria. And our studio is situated right inside the training center, so you might hear an IG line moving in the background. But speaking of IG lines, you're currently working on an interesting IG project. You're renovating your house built in the 70s. And didn't you tell me you're replacing the windows or just the glass in the windows?
Yeah, right. The window frames are still okay, but I want to improve the insulation value. So I'm switching to thermoplastic spacers. I only placed the order with my glazier last week.
Hey, cool. So far in our podcast, our focus has been on the machines, but I know your area of expertise is actually software. Can you walk me through the process that happens now in the software after you placed your order?
Sure. Let's start with the email I sent last week. There, I listed the dimensions of every window and the specifications. And usually, this is what happens next. The person in the office enters the information into an order management system. In my case, these are 16 panes with 6 different dimensions.
Whew. And will you get them in time for your vacation?
No, unfortunately, I'll have to wait a little longer. You see, when I requested my preferred delivery date, their capacity planning checked the machine load for the next weeks and immediately told the clerk that they would not be able to meet the date. Instead, they suggested the earliest possible delivery date, a little time after my vacation.
Ah, that's quite the wait. Did you request such special glass types that they did not have them on stock?
Not so much the glass, but the coating is a bit out of the ordinary.
Hmm.
Based on their stock management data, they could directly tell they need to order that type of glass. And that kind of information is provided by a purchase management system, which verifies the stock level. So once the glass on the stock falls below a certain threshold, the system restocks a reconfigured amount from the default supplier. That means my order must have exceeded the current stock level.
Mm, but if they did have some glass on stock, didn't they offer you a partial delivery?
Yeah, they did. But I decided against it. It would be a hassle for the glazier to have to come twice to replace the glass in the frames. And I don't have the space to store the glasses either. So they adjusted their delivery planning to make a complete delivery, regrettably after my vacation.
And what happens now once you've confirmed your order?
This is the moment where the reservations in the capacity planning, due to my request, are changed to actual production orders. These orders contain all necessary work steps, which are then scheduled on all involved machines. Usually, the scheduling is done from the delivery date backwards to make sure everything is finished in time, but nothing stands around on the shop floor consuming racks and space.
Oh, and how does the software support the production?
A major function of the software is actually optimization. This happens first during cutting, where orders, selected by the operator, are optimized together on a series of stock sheets for optimal processability and maximum yield. In a more automated production, the optimization algorithm may even decide to include panes from a later production order, just to ensure a better usage of raw material, even if that means they take up space on the rack or a sorting buffer. A second optimization happens during the IG assembly, where the elements are produced in a sequence requested by the customer, or in a sequence to decrease setup times, or simply in a decreasing size to be stacked on an A-rack. This is then called delivery rack optimized production.
Wow, that sounds convenient. And after all this optimization, how do the glass panes find their way through the production?
The foundation for that is identification. In the software, each pane has a barcode identification which can be printed on the label or sometimes even lasered into the glass. Every time a pane arrives at a machine for processing, the operator scans this barcode. Then, a visualization, like a loading display, tells the operator how to put the glass on the machine and also what exactly needs to be done. If there are multiple machines in a line, a line management application does supply the workstep information to each machine. By doing so, the operator does not have to scan the barcode at each and every machine.
I suppose that makes life easier. So the software provides optimization and identification. What about keeping track of all the moving pieces?
Well, there are basically two status messages. For each successfully completed work step, the operator, or in an automated production, the machine or line management, sends a ready message to the capacity planning. This way, the software system can keep track of the production progress.
And what if, worst case, something breaks?
Yeah, that's not as bad as it sounds. Since glass is a material that tends to break frequently, there is a process for that. In the case of a breakage, the operator initiates a so-called remake message. This restarts the whole production process for whatever has broken, starting from cutting. And this is a major advantage of the dynamic optimization algorithm I mentioned earlier. It recalculates the upcoming optimizations to include this remake as soon as possible.
Oh, that reminds me. Earlier, when we talked about the cutting optimization, you mentioned a sorting buffer. What is that?
The buffer is the key for a fully automated production. You know, from the cutting, the glass pane arrive in a sequence that ensure the least possible glass waste in the cutting process. The IG line requires the panes in a different sequence. Here, the goal is to stack the panes on the rack at the end of the line in an optimized way, a completely different sequence. Calculating this handover is one of the key functions of the buffer software. This is not limited to IG production, though. The buffer can also feed a lamination line or a toughening furnace, and this can get quite complex. So you see, the buffer and the buffer software automate the logistics in the production.
Impressive! If you have a fully automated production, what's the role of the operators or even the production manager?
Well, in a completely automated production, there are still tasks that require human action. Those are then mainly tasks that are less repetitive and more sophisticated, like maintenance or troubleshooting.
Are you working hard today in the training center? I think I can hear the cutting table now.
The production manager's role is to monitor the production from the control center and to intervene in case of a machine breakdown or something similar.
But is that all a production manager has to do? Should they not also look for ways to improve the production based on all this data they get from the machines?
That's actually a good point. State-of-the-art productions generate a lot of data that can be analyzed with appropriate software solutions to derive the best measures to increase the efficiency, improve quality, and reduce downtimes. But data is not only generated in the production. Any system, no matter if it's a business solution, production planning, or manufacturing execution software, generates data, and that can be collected and aggregated into what's called a data warehouse system. These systems are able to calculate KPIs across processes, which show insights that would not have been apparent from the raw data.
You've given me a lot of buzzwords. Can you also give me a real-world example how you can apply those systems?
Sure. A data warehouse system answers questions like, is there a product group that tends to create more remakes than others? How many orders did we deliver on time in full in a specific region, for instance? So, if you have delivery issues, you figure out common denominators to identify the underlying cause and derive appropriate measures.
I can see how that will be beneficial. And I'm sure there are many more exciting developments happening in this area. Do you know what the future will bring?
Oh, well, the first thing that comes to my mind actually has to do with data. As a production manager gains more and more experience, they know how to deal with certain situations. And the same is true for artificial intelligence algorithms. The more data you feed them, the better equipped they are to react to non-standard situations. The algorithms do not only control, but constantly inspect and adapt to the current situations. In that case, the human production manager only adjusts the parameters to guide the algorithm's decisions.
Oh, that's a major change. But surely that's not all.
Of course not. Second innovation is the move from the push principle to the pull principle in the production area. Nowadays, a lot of productions try to produce as much as possible in a given time. They increase the output regardless of their capacity to deliver the finished products. Using the pull principle, you would do the delivery planning before you start with the production planning, and therefore only produce what you can actually deliver. By doing so, you decrease the needed space in the warehouse and stay more flexible to any changes that might occur.
I see. And what about humans? Are there any improvements for them?
Yeah, that's the third focus, user experience. You know, industrial software has the connotation of being hard to use, complicated, and very training intensive. But people growing up with easy-to-use apps on their smartphones expect also industrial software to be as intuitive as the software they are using every day. So the user experience of industrial software will develop drastically.
Something to look forward to. It seems software will bring quite a lot of changes for flat glass processing and make life easier overall.
Yeah, because basically, a shop floor is only a set of machines until you add software, and then it becomes a production.
It's been quite a journey going through the aspects of flat glass processing with you. Today's episode concludes the first season of Listen Lysak. Thank you so much for this cool adventure, and thank you to all the listeners for following along.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you very much for having me.
This first season has laid the groundwork for what's about to come. Detailed talk with experts and deep dives into what makes our industry so special and interesting.
We'll keep bringing cutting-edge technology news to our listeners.
Hear you in the second season.
We'll be back soon. This has been Listen Lysak, the podcast about glass processing. Visit lysak.com to find out more about our innovative machines, automation solutions, software and services made in Austria.
Or visit our company blog to read about the latest in glass processing and glass finishing. For more insights, listen Lysak.